Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter replied, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And after I read that, I wrote the note here, what a confession by Peter. I hope you agree. I also think what a moment in his life and leadership of this apostle Peter. Now on the surface, I grant you, it doesn't appear to be much. But what if I told you that the biggest event in world history or the biggest event in your salvation in Jesus Christ started right here in Acts chapter 10 as Cornelius went to this Gentile's house. You know, he was just a simple fisherman, Simon Peter. But he went and he opened his mouth at a Roman soldier's house one day. Think about the Apostle Peter. He was one of Jesus' closest disciples. He was chosen by Jesus to be his disciples. He had seen Jesus say and do some incredible things. A few of the things I think of is how Jesus battled with the Pharisees and the religious leaders about what was clean and unclean before God. The Apostle Peter, he watched Jesus heal the daughter of a Phoenician woman, an outsider of the Jewish faith. He saw Jesus literally cleanse the temple, calling it once again a what? A house of prayer for all nations. He even knew the confession of a centurion, a non-Israelite soldier, no less, that stood at the foot of the cross as he says, surely this man, this Jesus, was the Son of God. You see, Peter not only saw Jesus in action for all people, but think about Peter. He experienced God's unconditional love personally from Jesus too after denying him three times. So when Peter says, I now realize that God's love is available for all, when Peter agrees that Cornelius, a Gentile, can receive the gospel and be part of the church of Jesus Christ just like he is, I want to say to Peter, you just realize that? You didn't realize that before? In fact, this moment is so important that God let out a slip now and then in the Old Testament. Think of Ruth. Ruth, the Moabite woman, an ancestor of Jesus himself in the genealogy, was granted to be part of Israel. How about Rahab, another ancestor of Jesus, bound herself to the people of Israel before Joshua and the people overtook Jericho? The prophet Isaiah, the prophet Zechariah, and the other prophets as well, they envisioned the day when all people in all nations would stream to the God of Israel, and that the Gentiles would grab hold of the worship of the one true God in the name of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, you know, the one appointed by the one God of Israel. And the text here from Acts is the reason why the Apostle Paul, that he goes to all nations. It's why Revelation depicts people of all nations and all languages standing before the throne and the Lamb. This is why the gospel came to Europe and Africa and Asia in the first century. Dear friends, this text led to the gospel coming down through generations, down through people, and it leads you and I to this moment right now. Here we are, again this day. And once again, dear friends, someone is opening their mouth. And it just happens to be me today. So hear these words once again. Dear fellow Gentiles, truly God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and do what is right in his eyes and accepts him is in the kingdom. As for the good news that we preach, well, you know Jesus Christ. He was sent to earth by the Heavenly Father, how he healed and did good because God was with him. This Jesus, he was rejected, put to death, but the Father raised him up 3 days later and then caused him to appear to people who he chose. This Jesus is appointed by God to one day raise all people from the dead and then sit as judge over all of the earth, and all who put their faith in him, put their hope in him, have the forgiveness of sins through the power of Christ's name. This is the message of the Christian church, dear friends. This is our message in this place as well. This is the message that is the most decisive moment in the history for us Gentiles, you see. It's a message that's for all people, for both Jew and Gentile alike. It's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ that gathers us now and to all who hear this message, whether you're on the radio or you're on the live stream or maybe you're here in the congregation. When you hear this message, we pray that God would grant His Holy Spirit so that you too would live and share the mercies of our God through Jesus Christ. Well, back to Acts chapter 10 then, okay? Peter believed that God loved all people. There's no doubt there. He even was starting to associate with people that weren't like him, that were different than he was. When this messengers from Cornelius came to him, you know, Cornelius, that devout Gentile, he was staying at the house of Simon the Tanner, who was also most likely considered someone shunned according to the Jewish law. But as Galatians chapter 2 reads and shows, it seems like even when Peter was in the right heart, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles. I gave you the full scripture verse on the screen. You see, he tends to retreat to the comforts of these common bonds of the religious practice or the primary bonds of blood association when the gospel calls him beyond such things to the common bonds of faith itself. But God is going to impress on Peter the full extent of this love once again, because he's going to go personally to confirm the faith of a man named Cornelius, again a Gentile. And this man, no, back in the day of Jesus, didn't belong in God's church. He was going to teach Peter, and dear friends, he's teaching us once again this day, that the love of God in Christ Jesus is the only love that can break every bond and then bond every people into one family, and that's the family of faith. We need to learn again what Peter learned. How true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation who fear Him and do what is right. So today, right, we are reminded of the outward direction of the Christian life. Today we learn with Peter that God continues to direct us outward to our neighbors in this love. And I don't know who your neighbor is. Maybe it's your family circle. Maybe it's your work circle. Maybe it's your friend circle. Maybe it's all of the circles of your life. We are called to be impartial in our willingness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others can celebrate its acceptance in their lives. You know, people from all every tribe, every language, every culture. So God challenges those who trust in Him to step out of their comfort zone, if you will. Really, how I would put it is to overcome these false barriers of the world and the fears that it produces for us Christians, and to unleash that love of God in our lives towards others. Like Peter, we too need to learn again that God's love is 100% grace. There's no additional religion needed. There's no bloodline certainty necessary on the screen, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But the problem that I see, people in the world don't like to step out of their comfort zone, right? People often hang around with folks that look like them, that talk like them, that act like them. And this world judges outsiders accordingly. The world doesn't like such impartiality. The world is a big sinful gang, you know, the good old boys club and the good old girls network in our sinful terms alone. Don't believe me? Partiality is rampant in the human heart. It's the sin of showing kindness only to one's kind, if you will, the love only to those that we find lovely. It's the sin that infects not only the world we live in, dear friends, but if we look in the mirror of the law in this church and be honest, it affects every church too, including us. So today we have to admit that we have not always loved others the way Christ loved us. We have not always opened our arms and our house to those that don't look like us. We need to learn that lesson from Peter today, and that's why this lesson is presented to us, that the Lord is no respecter of persons on the screen, for all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. And God reminded Peter again here in Acts chapter 10 that his love is a go-the-whole-distance kind of love, one that does everything necessary to reconcile humankind back to God alone, who creates, who redeems, who sustains. Peter was awed again by the extent of God's go-the-whole-distance kind of love, repenting of his narrow view of God's grace, and then fighting that temptation within himself to love only those that he felt were lovable. But he opens his heart to Cornelius, a fellow believer now, loved by God. And again, sometimes we just need to be reminded of that, don't we? So here's a story to help us be reminded. A little boy understood this all one day very well. It was just a typical evening at home. You can see him up there on the screen. Mom was busy fixing supper, as always. And just then, the little boy came up to his mother and wanted to give her an important piece of paper. So she dried her hands with the towel, and they sat down beside each other on the couch. And the little boy handed a piece of paper into his mother's hands, and she began to read it for herself. What it was a list of all the things the little boy had done for his parents that week, along with a bill corresponding for the services. You know, things like $5 for cutting the grass, it says on the sheet. For cleaning his room, $1. For going to the store with her, 50 cents. Babysitting the little brother while went shopping, $1.25. Taking out the garbage, $2. And the list went on, and the total on the bottom of the sheet said total owed $14.75. So his mother looked at him and the boy, and he could see that she was really thinking hard about what he had written. But before she answered him, she took the sheet, took a pen, turned the sheet over, and wrote on this her response. And after she was done, she read her response to him. And here's what she said. For the 9 months I carried you while you were growing inside me, no charge. For all the nights that I sat up with you, doctored and prayed for you, no charge. For all the trying times and all the tears that you've caused through the years, no charge. For all the times I wiped your nose and even your hiney, no charge. For all the toys and food and clothes, no charge. Son, when you add it up, the cost you need to pay for my love is no charge. And so when the boy finished hearing this, there were big tears in his eyes, can you imagine? And he looked straight at his mother and said, Mom, I sure do love you. And right then he took the paper back, he picked up the pen, and he wrote these big lettered words on the page. On the screen, paid in full. When God's paid in full love is reflected for others, it blesses. It's the kind of love that pays the price because the price needs to be paid. When we're awed by the love of that love in our lives, see, just like Peter, we understand again how it is that we become the people of God. It's that kind of love, dear friends, that can break down barriers, it can build bridges to others, because it's Christ's love in action through us to them. You see, it's that all the way kind of love received from God alive in our lives. When you really come to grips with the truth that God didn't save you because you were savable or because you knew the right people or you had the right potential, when you realize that you were truly saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, impartially due to the actions of Jesus alone for you, well, I hope receiving that love opens you up to people in a whole different way. Your faith relationship with God, knowing and trusting in His love above all things, dear friends, that's the key to life. The key to life. That's the kind of love that can break down barriers. It can overcome obstacles because it's the love that always looks out for the others first, the way that God in Christ already has looked out for you and me. So if you're hearing me today and you've maybe been let down by the closest to you, let me say to you, there is a love that can overcome that hurt. Maybe your family is overwhelmed by the ugliness of this world, full of partiality, even though you've done nothing to deserve it. Know this, there's still a love that can protect you and hold you and sustain you. And if you are one that doesn't believe that such partial, gracious love really exists for you, let me say, watch out. Watch out, because the love of Christ, God's love in action, is a come all the way for you type of love. He went to your cross, he went through your cross, and the power of his resurrection, he's coming to you with healing and forgiving and his loving word right now, this day, into your ear. And I'll even tell you this about a secret about this church. It's full of those kinds of people, let me tell you, who, like Peter, love to repentantly learn again and again and again that God loves all people in Christ the same. So today, dear friends, we do celebrate with Peter, learned anew the full extent of God's love for all. For in the house of Cornelius, he needed to see that God's love only had no boundaries, but that God's love is the only way that can truly overcome boundaries. Reconcile those who are estranged, and maybe even make enemies eternal friends. So we're also reminded today with Peter of the bonding power of God's love, and that love, as I said, it breaks barriers, it builds bridges so that others might see that love in action for them. Today, by faith, dear Zionites and visitors and those on the radio and the live stream, today by faith, you and I can celebrate and share that love too, the love of Christ that has found you to give to others. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who shows no partiality. Amen.